It's hard to believe only a month to go until the election. This Sunday, we'll see the second of three presidential debates. It may be a split screen with Hurricane Matthew competing for viewers' attention, but we know what our singers will be watching.
Here and now, 2016.
And joining us today, Jesse Holland, who covers politics for the Associated Press, and Julie Mason, host of The Press Pool on Sirius XM. Welcome to both of you.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you doing?
And, you know, the first debate clearly had an impact on the polls, giving Hillary Clinton a bump of several points. Not clear yet the impact of the vice presidential debate. But Julie, how would you describe the state of the race right now, and how important is this Sunday's second debate?
Well, she's reclaimed her advantage, including in key battleground states. She's got to keep that momentum going and not let him get his advantage back in the meantime. It's going to be hard. You know, Hillary Clinton has a tendency to blow her leads over and over again. So she has to do it right at this debate on Sunday. And the format does not play to either of their strengths.
Yeah, well, the polls show she's already blown her lead in New Hampshire. Now, Donald Trump held an invite-only event last night in New Hampshire. He billed it as a town hall. Some New Hampshireites are howling it wasn't, because it was hosted by a Trump-friendly radio host. The questions had to be written in advance. It was an all-partisan gathering. But here's Donald Trump.
By the way, they were saying, this is practice for Sunday. This isn't practice. This has nothing to do with Sunday. We're just here because we just wanted to be here. And, you know, Hillary, frankly, they talk about debate prep. That's not debate prep. She's resting. She's resting. And I want to be with the American people. I want to be with the people from New Hampshire. And she wants to run.
So, Jesse Holland, there he is again with the something's wrong with Hillary and her health. She's resting. Is that resonating? I mean, we know what's, you know, what to read between those lines.
Well, the people on the Trump campaign have got to be a little concerned when they have a bunch of conservative leaning newspaper editorial boards either endorsing Hillary Clinton or saying at least don't vote for Donald Trump. And now you have a bunch of evangelicals writing letters saying we can't support this guy. Those type of comments like he said there about Hillary Clinton resting, I don't think they're really doing him a lot of help among the people that he needs help with right now. And that includes female voters. I don't see how that comment's going to help female voters to get on his side who already worry about being discriminated against in the workplace. Saying Hillary Clinton needs to rest, I don't see how that brings anybody over to his side.
Well, what about the issue of debate prep? Julie, this idea that he's not really preparing for the debate, is he preparing? Does he need to prepare for this kind of debate? You said that you don't think this format works well for either one of them.
No, not for either one of them. But it's interesting, last night you played that clip from New Hampshire. He brought Chris Christie along. Now, Chris Christie is heading up the transition effort, which is huge, while also dealing with this, you know, legal action over Bridgegate. But Chris Christie, as you remember, really propelled his primary campaign on the fuel of these terrific town halls that he did. He was really good at it. That was his strength. So he's trying to help Donald Trump. Whether he's getting through or not, it is an open question. Donald Trump's still running a primary campaign, doesn't see why he needs to appeal to anyone other than primary voters. And that's why he's saying things like Hillary Clinton is resting. He's not really listening to his advisors.
Well, you know, I want to pick up on something that you just said, Jeremy, about the debate format, because this is going to be something of a town hall. The questions are going to come from the audience. They are not going to be written in advance. And Jesse, there's always also the question of body language. Does one candidate get in another space? You know, does one candidate maybe walk closer to the questioner? And anything, you know, the wrong move, a false move, it can go downhill fast.
Right. The optics in a town hall mean everything. Will Donald Trump try to loom over Hillary Clinton? Mm-hmm. How will he respond in a non-scripted format? It's very rare where you see him actually having to interact, taking questions back and forth with voters, much less reporters, but with voters. So this may be new ground for him where he actually doesn't have any control over what's going to happen here. So it'll be interesting to see how Donald Trump reacts in this brand new environment. And for Hillary Clinton as well. We've all known for long times that she is not the most personable person ever. So seeing her wander through a crowd and take questions from everyone, she'll be trying to make herself approachable. we'll see if it works.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see if Trump tries to take any lessons from Mike Pence from the vice presidential debate. He was seen as doing very well in terms of style in that debate, but some criticism about his defense of his running mate and avoiding questions about things like Trump's praise of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Here's Mike Pence getting pressed on that yesterday by NBC's Savannah Guthrie.
Even though it worked in the moment, was it the wrong approach to deny statements that you know are on video and on audio are going to come right back to bite you the next day?
Oh, I don't think so at all, Savannah. And the mischaracterizations and the way Tim Kaine and Hillary Clinton continue to take Donald Trump's statements out of context, it was something I just wasn't going to tolerate during the debate.
But
I
those mean, are direct
Donald
quotes
Trump,
in context.
And I have observed. Well, no, well,
Julie,
well,
did he get hurt in the end, even though he got some praise for his style in the debate? Did Pence kind of lose on substance there and get hurt by denying things that were said?
No, I mean, not really. Not if he's looking ahead toward the Republican primary in 2020. That doesn't hurt him with Republican voters. I mean, Democrats are losing their mind because they feel like he was judged all on style and not on substance. But these are vice presidential debates.
You think
that's
what he's
judged.
Doing, though, right now, is looking forward to 2020? He's just
totally.
Deciding they're going to lose?
Yeah, well. Totally. 150%.
Yeah, wow. Some people have gone to 175 on that. Just to touch on Tim Kaine for a second, you know, even he said he got dinged even by his wife for interrupting Spence too much. But speaking of language and the use of words, I just want to take a listen to something that Donald Trump said yesterday that just really people wonder, can he get away with this? He gets away with, you know, so much in some people's eyes. But at a rally in Nevada, he insisted to people who live there that it's Nevada.
Heroin overdoses are surging and meth overdoses in Nevada. Nevada. And you know what I said? You know what I said? I said, when I came out here, I said, nobody says it the other way. It has to be Nevada, right? And if you don't say it correctly, and it didn't happen to me, but it happened to a friend of mine, he was killed.
Jeremy, what happens to us when we slip and say Nevada?
We get letters like
arrive.
Crazy.
Close up. Yeah.
How, I mean, weigh in on that, either of you.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I hear it from listeners as well. Yeah,
yeah, but here, this is Donald Trump. Is this some? His supporters were screaming at him. But is this? You know, will he get away with this? I know these are micro, but they add up.
Well, I mean, come on. How many times has he said something that would be deemed controversial? Now, if you ask me, going to a state and telling that state it's pronouncing its name wrong, I mean, that wouldn't be a way I would try to get votes in a state. But hey, he said so much stuff during this campaign and he still keeps trucking right along. What's one more thing at this point?
Mm-hmm. Here's something that, you know, we're talking about the election coming up in a month. A lot of people are already voting, maybe even in Nevada. They're already voting. I'm not sure. But there was a tweet from Robbie Mook, who's the Clinton campaign manager this week, that he said that Florida, North Carolina and Nevada could be decided before Election Day because of early voting and that Clinton could run up an insurmountable lead. Julie, when you hear that, is that just bluster or is that for real that the votes are already coming in and they're seeing who's voting?
Well, and you got to throw in this variable of Hurricane Matthew. How is that going to affect turnout
right.
in Florida? If a huge swath of the population is displaced, as we saw with Katrina, when a lot of Louisiana ended up in Texas, but that wasn't an election cycle. There are so many variables. I mean, I think Robbie Mook was getting, as Obama would say, a little head of his skis on that. But there are some interesting dynamics playing out with weather and early voting. So hard to predict, I would say.
Well, we are reading that's what the Clinton campaign is doing, though, going into places. Is where people are saying, what are you doing here? We're trying to gin up the early voting.
Mm-hmm. So, well, yeah, that, yeah, I mean, that is a major part of elections nowadays. If you can get people to go vote early, that's a vote you don't have to come back and campaign for again.
Yeah.
So
right.
that's a big push especially from the Hillary Clinton campaign right now, is to get in those early states and get those votes in now.
Yeah. Well, I saw a statistic that 40% of people, 40% of voters were expected to early vote this year.
Okay. Well, so that may be, you know, why they're concentrating on that. Look, we just we're here in the New England area, got a bunch of blue states, but one, you know, New Hampshire that's at play. And I think for the first time we're hearing a Trump campaign ad. Now, he has said he's not going to put money in, but we're hearing all over the airwaves, either Trump ads, as one we're about to hear, or ads from his backers. Let's listen for a second.
Donald Trump. Prosperity for you. America great again.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
I mean, it's such an odd sound. You kind of sat up and said, say what? What's happening in the campaigns? Is he feeling that he does have to put the ads out, Jesse?
Well, we're getting into crunch time. If he's going to be a serious competitor to Hillary Clinton, there are things you have to do. One of the things you have to do is run campaign ads. So if at this point he decides he doesn't want to run campaign ads, the establishment and a huge swath of the voters, some of whom are just now really paying attention, are going to miss his message.
Yeah.
So he's got to get in there like past candidates did.
Yep.
That's Jesse Holland, who covers politics for the Associated Press, and Julie Mason, host of The Press Pool on Sirius XM, just a month to go until the election. And by the way, the second presidential debate, Sunday night, it'll be on many NPR stations starting at 9 p.m. Eastern. Thanks to both of you guys.
Thank you.
You.